In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. Massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view. The continents show the speckled electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and a massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company.
Parallel black tiles slide into a red background to form the E's in a logo that reads Bleecker Street. The letters fade away, leaving only the now shiny metallic tiles that disappear row by row. Light reflects off red and silver metallic letters as they rotate into place on a black background, forming a logo, AGC Studios. Mathematical equations fly into a black background. A graph of a nautilus shell appears and transforms into a circular geometric pattern with two lines orbiting clockwise around it. Fibonacci Films. Image Nation, Abu Dhabi. A logo appears on a pulsating amber light, DB Pictures. The light fades, leaving only the shining letters. An animated leaf falls to water, causing ripples over the surface. A silhouette of a tree forms next to the words Echo Lake Entertainment. A large soap bubble hovers under tree branches beneath a sunny sky. It bursts in slow motion. In a park, a woman on a blanket watches a little boy.
That was pretty big.
He dips a wand made from a hanger in soapy water and makes more bubbles.
Wow. Oh, Patrick, look at that one.
The dark-haired woman smokes a cigarette.
Oh, wow, look at this one. Patrick, can you catch it?
The woman turns, seeing the back of a tall, light-haired man commanding his dog. The boy, Patrick, catches a floating bubble. The dark-haired woman smiles. Her smile drops as she stares toward the whistler.
Yeah, that just totally messes it up.
Patrick makes more bubbles. The woman wears a serious expression as she slowly gets to her feet. She continues watching the tall man as he walks away, his dog beside him.
Honey, stay here for a second. Mommy will be right back.
As the tall man heads toward the edge of the park, the dark-haired woman tracks behind him. She glances back over her shoulder while continuing forward.
Patrick, stay on the blanket.
She watches as the tall man leads his dog to a 1950s streamlined sedan.
Go, Max, in.
She picks up her pace as he gets inside. He pulls away before she can see his face.
Hi, Maya.
She turns.
You okay?
Hi, Sarah.
The car drives away.
How's Louis doing? Patrick.
Good.
Sarah stomps out her cigarette and walks off with the dark-haired Maya. Later, wearing a different outfit and hat, Maya lights a cigarette outside a corner building.
Take a look at this waiting list.
A bald man in a white lab coat hands her a note.
Ever think we get this busy?
Taking a drag off her cigarette, Maya spies through an open door at men in a waiting room.
Guess it's good for business.
Good for business, right?
The older, bald man lights his own cigarette.
You should tell your husband that.
A deep breath.
Inside an exam room.
Good. A lot of new guys at the refinery these days.
You seem surprised I'm one of them.
No, not at all. What do you do there?
Shift manager. It's all right, Doc. I don't mind talking about it. 6th Marine Division. Lost the legs in Okinawa. Second landing. You serve?
Medical Corps. Yeah, but they only sent me over in 46. Can you line your back for me, please? Yeah, I was in an army hospital in Greece. Part of the reconstruction. It's awful what happened to the combat vets.
Well, it's not like any of us chose it.
Yeah?
Anything you want to add to the order before I call it in?
The doctor checks.
We need Thorazine and Bentil and some aspirin.
It's already on. And we're running low on dressing, so I put that on too.
Hey, it's my wife, Maya. She helps run the office.
Pleasure to meet you, man.
We met in that army hospital in Greece, I was telling you about.
Oh, I couldn't get enough of a local gal, so you brought one home with you?
No.
Actually, I'm Romanian.
You know, I was thinking maybe we could invite Eddie over for dinner one of these nights. He's new at the refinery.
Oh, I don't know, Doc. I don't want it to be awkward.
No, it's not awkward. Come on. You deserve a proper welcome. What do you say, Maya, Wednesday?
Sure. Nice to meet you.
Now, Maya gets into a 1950 sedan, starts it up, and drives down a tranquil town road. She wears a slight smile as she holds onto the large steering wheel and makes a turn. She lights a cigarette and continues down a two-lane rural road. With one hand on the wheel, she playfully twirls her hair with her fingers. Now in front of a bedroom mirror, Maya puts loose strands of hair into rollers. Her husband, Louis, the doctor, sits on a chair reading a newspaper.
Why did you invite that guy for dinner?
Why not?
You didn't have to invite.
Oh, he's new in town. And he's, you know, it must be hard for him.
Louis drinks water from a glass.
He doesn't need your pity. You made him feel awkward.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I don't think so.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
He watches his wife put on glasses, grab a book, and get into bed.
Do you know that Miss Jackson is arranging a lemonade contest? Patrick's class. Can you believe it? Everything in this country is a competition.
You know, some things are acts of kindness, like inviting a veteran, an injured veteran over for dinner because he's new in town. Mm,
you just want to save everyone, don't you?
He tosses the paper aside and rises.
Maybe I do.
Getting on the bed, he kisses her foot.
Some more than others.
Really?
Really.
He grins.
Really?
Really.
Now, on top of Maya, Louis kisses her neck and lips. He removes her glasses. She holds her rollers.
Why don't you take them out?
Took me 1 hour to put them in.
Yeah. I'll make you look pretty right now.
Oh. How?
You ever hear about the glow?
Oh, you're so ridiculous.
I'm ridiculous. Look at you. These curls.
Shut up. Get off me.
They remove clothing and she wraps her legs around him.
Mommy.
He jumps off her as Patrick opens the door.
I can't sleep. It's too dark.
You're putting on my glasses.
In my butt.
I'm taking your butt. Daddy's messing up Mommy's curlers.
We were wrestling.
Daddy will be in a minute. Just stay right here.
Hey, stay. Don't move.
Louis hops out of bed as Maya remains, smiling.
You can't go in naked to Patrick.
Yeah, I'm getting my underwear.
In the morning, Maya tests Patrick with flashcards.
Bear.
Very good.
Clown.
Good. And what about this one?
Boat.
Good.
Louis joins them at the breakfast table.
Rabbit.
Good.
He's catching your accent. The R's.
No, he's not. Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell him how to say it.
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I always say it like Daddy. And your teachers, not like me.
A rabbit.
Rabbit.
Oh, really?
Very
Patrick
funny.
Reed.
I like that one. Patrick Reed.
Rudolph
the reindeer. Rudolph the reindeer.
Do you want to do it instead?
I would love to.
Okay, go ahead.
Bear.
How many eggs?
One. Two.
Patrick gathers eggs in a hen house.
Three.
What about over there?
Louis approaches.
Four. Four eggs.
You need a spare for this, and I don't have time. You mind going to Mitchell's?
Sure, I'll do it today.
He hands her a key as they exit the hen house. She kisses Louis and lowers for a peck on the cheek from Patrick. The boys head off.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, I'm still missing some files for the new workers. You mind calling the refinery?
Totally did. I'll call them again.
A vehicle passes by a store with a sign reading Neebs. Inside, Maya checks out painkiller samples as she waits for a man making a key.
No, he doesn't move here from the gym.
She looks up at a mirror.
Well, the weather is a lot better here, I can tell you that. And that's what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 4?
She spots the tall man in the mirror.
Well, I like knowing that I have a good hardware store.
She watches him.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Have a good day.
As the tall man leaves, Maya's eyes are glued to him. She follows him, moving past the cashier.
You all right, Maya?
Giving him a quick glance, she hurries to the door and opens it. Through the store window, she sees the tall man rounding the corner. Cautiously, she steps out, puts on sunglasses, and moves to the corner. She peeks around to see the tall man continuing down the sidewalk. She follows and he turns the corner at the next block. She picks up her pace. At the corner, she spots him slowly walking. She follows as he crosses the street toward a movie theater. She studies him with a serious expression. He enters a building just beyond the theater. Maya crosses the street, her gaze never moving from the entrance. Through the store's window, she sees the light-haired man closer. He turns to exit.
Thanks again. You have a good rest of your day.
Maya turns away as the man exits and walks in the opposite direction. She turns around and continues tracking him down the sidewalk. He crosses to the other side of the street. Maya follows him as they enter a residential area. Maya passes a man in a hat walking by and another who opens the trunk of a car. The tall man approaches a house carrying a bag under his arm and his jeans rolled up at his ankles. A young girl emerges from behind a bush and runs to the tall man. A woman holding a baby exits the house and kisses him. Maya swallows hard. Now, she walks in front of the house. She glances to the empty porch, passes by the tall man's streamlined sedan, and jogs up the driveway. Pausing at the corner of the house, Maya spots clothes drying on lines in the backyard. Cautiously, she circles the house and moves toward a window. She peeks inside.
But then they don't have that number. See?
She spots the tall man. A dog startles Maya. Maya quickly hides in a recess behind the door as the woman comes out.
Annabelle, I told you these aren't toys.
Do I have to take the delivery tomorrow? I mean, I have to be at the refinery at 5.
I know.
I'm not taking the car. I'm walking. Tell them I'll be
there. Let's go back inside.
Rachel.
I said I'd call them later.
Maya peeks around the corner. Later, she pulls her sedan into the driveway. She lights a cigarette and stands next to her parked car. Lewis exits the house.
Where the hell have you been? You forgot to pick up Patrick.
He leans on the hood of the car.
I'm sorry, I lost track of time and I thought school must have called.
Yeah, his teacher had to bring him home. Did something happen?
No.
Then where were you?
With Diane, I told you.
Diane, no. He didn't tell me anything.
Maya averts her eyes, shrugs, and taps ashes from her cigarette. She turns to him.
Are we doing this again?
Is this where we are now?
No, I'm fine.
They stare at each other as a woman walks past their driveway. Later, Patrick sits in bed as Maya kisses his cheek.
I'm sorry I didn't pick you up today. Mommy had to deal with something.
They look up to find Lewis watching them from the doorway. He shoots her a look and walks off.
Play with Rich.
Did you play with the football?
Baseball.
Maya watches Patrick peering down at his hands.
You want to see how high we can make it?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you use these?
Later, Maya wakes up in bed with a start. She glances at a sleeping Lewis. She sits up at the edge of the bed. In a bathroom, Maya takes a bottle of pills from a medicine cabinet. She drinks from the faucet and stares at herself in the mirror. She pushes her hair off her face, wipes her mouth with her hand, and gazes downward. Cut to black.
Can I get a bag for these?
Oh, sure.
At the hardware store, Maya sets down rope, rags, and wire on a checkout counter.
What do I owe you?
I'll put it on your account.
The cashier hands her the bag goods. Now with a cigarette between her fingers, Maya wipes her hands and leans against her car. Parked outside a refinery, she watches men come out through an open gate, a factory facility in the background. She briskly wipes her dusty boots and hands and squats as she smokes. A train passes headed toward the refinery. Maya continues smoking and observing the front gate. Now inside her car, she leans on the steering wheel and checks the gate in the rearview mirror. Tapping her dirty index finger anxiously on the car door, Maya sees more men exiting and getting into cars. She adjusts her mirror. She looks back over her shoulder as the tall, light-haired man leaves the refinery. Maya pulls her car away as the man carrying a hard hat and lunch pail approaches. Now, the man walks mechanically down an almost empty road. Maya's car sits on the shoulder, ahead of him. Hiding behind the open hood, she spots him approaching. Maya comes out, shaking her head.
Hello. I'm so glad you passed by. My car broke down.
The man heads to the front of the car.
I'm really not an expert, but I'll take a look if you want.
Would you? It's happened before. I think I have some plugs back here. I just don't know what they look like.
She opens the trunk and he approaches.
I really don't know much about anything.
She hits him in the head with a hammer and he drops into her arms. She tosses the tool into the trunk and struggles to put the man inside. Shoving his upper body in first, she lifts his legs, pushes them inside, and shuts the trunk. Maya turns around and leans back on the trunk, breathing deeply. She shuts the hood, grabs rope from inside the car, and moves to the trunk. Now, with the trunk open and the man still unconscious, Maya readies a rope as she spots an approaching vehicle. She quickly shuts the trunk as a man in a coupe zooms by. She takes deep breaths. Now Maya drives wearing a headscarf and sunglasses. She pulls to a stop and backs up to a spot off a dirt road. She sits in the driver's seat, scanning around in front of her, and removes the sunglasses and headscarf. she steps to the back of the vehicle to examine a freshly dug grave. A bird flies overhead against a blue sky. Maya sits at the steering wheel with a lit cigarette between her fingers. She looks at the rope, rags, wire, and shovel in the back seat and nods. She gets out, holding a pistol, and stomps out the cigarette. She opens the trunk slightly. Letting the trunk open all the way, she aims the pistol at the tied up, gagged, and still unconscious man. Putting the gun away, she stares at the open grave and at the man in the trunk. She rolls him up on his side, and with a heave, she sends him rolling into the grave. He lands hard, settling on his side, his eyes open. He glances at his bound wrists. He scurries back as Maya aims the gun. Eyes wide, he lifts his hand slightly in a defensive gesture. Maya shuffles on her feet and lowers the weapon. The gagged man wears a terrified expression as Maya gazes downward. She takes aim at him again.
What do you want? What do you want? Please.
Don't look at me. Look away.
She shifts nervously as he stares.
Our children, please.
Maya lowers the gun. She moves her hair and wipes her face. She glares down at the man. He squints as he cowers, holding up his hand defensively. Maya points the gun at him.
What do you want?
His eyes well with tears. Maya averts her gaze, still pointing the gun. With a pained expression, she lowers the weapon, covering her face with her hand. Later, Maya wipes her hand on her pants and smokes a cigarette while standing next to her car in the driveway. She wipes the vehicle and leans against it. A stout male neighbor takes out his trash as a car passes by. He waves to the vehicle and Maya watches him at his trash can. Now, a woman watches Patrick and another child play.
Hello.
Maya approaches.
How was everything?
Great. They play so nicely together.
Oh. I promised to take him to the movies. Oh, sure. What's playing?
The woman eyes Maya's hands.
Sleeping Beauty.
Maya glances down at her filthy hands.
I have days like that, too.
We'd be a much healthier nation.
Okay, Irving. We'll work by the cookie jar and it'll solve both problems.
At home, Patrick watches TV as Maya sits nearby.
Hey.
Lewis enters.
Hey, bud. How was your day?
Good. I went to Stewart's house.
Oh, nice. You have fun?
Yeah.
He joins Patrick on the couch and glances at Maya.
Hello, Sarge.
She averts her eyes. Later, Lewis and Maya sit in the kitchen.
What is it?
Fidgeting with her lighter, Maya looks back toward the living room. Now, Lewis studies her as she looks down.
I always told you that my family wasn't in the war. That we were living in Bucharest. It's not true. I was in a German camp for 2 years.
He straightens.
What are you talking about? Why were you in a camp?
It wasn't just my grandfather who was a Roma. A gypsy. It was my mother, too. And my father. All of us, actually. I didn't tell you because...
Why not?
Maya wipes under her eye.
When Romania joined the war, they gave us to the Nazis. When the Nazis were losing there and the Russians came, everything was falling apart. Prisoners, guards, everyone was escaping. I was in a small group, mostly women. We were heading west, back to Romania, back home. We thought we made it. We were sleeping when some German soldiers, SS, found us. They were drunk. They shot some of us.
She wears a slight scowl.
They did horrible things to the women. Worse than you can imagine.
Why didn't you ever tell me this?
She bows her head and puts a hand over her face.
I tried to deal with it alone. I tried to make it go away so you would never have to know, but...
She shifts her eyes and stares at an open-mouthed Lewis who shakes his head. Her mouth trembles.
Lewis? He's in the trunk of our car.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
What?
Who?
Lewis opens the trunk to find the bound and gagged man inside. Later, back in the kitchen.
What the hell did you do? What are we supposed to do with him?
We have to kill him.
What? What are you talking about?
Nobody saw me take him.
No, we're not killing anyone, okay? We're gonna take him to the police.
No.
Yes.
No.
And the police will investigate. Then we'll have to let him go.
We can't let him go. I kidnapped him. I tried to kill him.
Quiet.
Lewis punches the pull chain of a wall lamp and turns his back to her. She leans against the sink, glaring at him.
You don't believe me.
I don't know what to believe. I mean, you never told me any of this. You looked me in the eye and you told me something very different, right? We've dealt with a lot of issues. Psychiatrists, nightmares, sleeping in the car.
Because of him.
The show's done.
Patrick enters the kitchen.
Mommy, the show's done.
Hey, bud, go brush your teeth. Mommy will be right in.
Patrick doesn't move as Maya turns to him.
Patrick!
We have to bring him in. He'll wake up soon.
Outside, Lewis scopes out the neighborhood.
Okay. Just for one night.
Lewis and Maya struggle to pull the unconscious man from the trunk. His knees drag as they pull him across the lawn. In the basement, Maya sets down a chair as Lewis flips through the man's wallet. They look at each other as the tall man lies on the stairs. Now, with the man sitting on the chair, they tie him up. Maya glances up and climbs the stairs. She exits the basement, rushing toward Patrick's room. She finds him asleep in bed. Later, Maya observes with crossed arms as Lewis tends to the man. Lewis moves to a sink. Now the man drinks. Lewis glances at Maya as the man tied to the chair looks at him. The captive man focuses on his restraints.
You don't remember me?
The man shifts his eyes back and forth between them.
What is your name?
I'm Thomas. Thomas Steinmetz.
She steps closer to him.
Doing a good job hiding that German accent.
I'm not German, I'm Swiss.
Swiss.
She moves away and quickly turns back toward him.
Carl. Someone called you Carl.
My name is Thomas Steinman. I just moved to this town. I work at the refinery. I have a wife, Rachel, two children. I don't know who you're confusing me with, but just let me go. I won't tell anyone. I promise. I got hit in the head. I'm confused. I won't recognize your faces. Just let me go. I need to see my family again.
You will never see your family again.
Later.
Does he even look the same to you?
Well, no. I mean, yes, his eyes. I will never forget those eyes.
We need to be certain.
I am certain.
Well, I need to be certain, too.
Maya shifts on her feet as Louis gets up from the kitchen table.
I mean, what's the likelihood that a guy that attacked you 15 years ago, halfway around the world, he ends up two blocks away from our house?
Yes. Yes, I know. Exactly.
Shooting him a look, she leans on a counter and smashes her cigarette butt into an ashtray.
Maya, wait! Maya!
She storms down the basement steps with Louis following.
How dare you? How dare you look me in the eyes and deny who you are? I will never forget your face, Carl. I remember your whistle. You woke us up, you hit me. Your hands smell of alcohol. Your eyes, the way you looked at me when you were choking me. My sister, Miria, remember her? Your Nazi friends dragged her away.
I must remind you of someone. The way I talk, the way I look, maybe my accent. I was never in the war. I was in Switzerland the entire time. I worked as a clerk.
Shut up!
I have documents to prove it. You have to give me a chance to prove it. You'll be an accomplice.
Louis puts the gag back on Thomas's mouth. Maya heads for the stairs. Louis stares at Thomas.
Coward!
The bound man watches him go.
Coward!
Later, in their bedroom, Maya sits at a vanity mirror, brushing her hair and staring off thoughtfully.
What if he managed to get up from the chair?
Louis sits on the bed.
He could kill us all.
He sips from a glass.
He won't, he's died. You had a sister.
Maya stiffens.
I don't want to talk about it now.
Louis examines his wife from the bed. Later, as he sleeps, Maya lies awake. In a flashback, two sisters sleep on their sides. Armed soldiers enter the building and they are dragged out. While one is raped, the other is carried off. In the bedroom, Louis lies asleep in the bed, alone. Awake, he sits up, staring at Maya's empty side of the bed. He leans over to the edge to find his wife sleeping on her side on the floor. Now, he exits the bedroom. In the basement, Thomas slumps in the chair, his head bowed and mouth gagged. His eyes lift to find Louis staring at him, bent forward with his hands on his knees. Louis moves behind him and pulls down the gag. Thomas stretches out his mouth. As Louis moves back in front of him, Thomas gives the doctor a knowing glance.
I have to go.
Louis searches the basement and spots something. He brings back a metal bucket. Thomas glances at him, then looks off to the side. Later, Lewis faces away from Thomas, who pulls up his underpants with his bound hands. In the bedroom, Maya wakes up to find Lewis missing. In the basement, Thomas hops back to the chair. He sits down.
Moses had been in the entire war. Lived in Zurich. My wife there.
Lewis kneels to tie Thomas's legs. With his arms, Thomas hammers Lewis's back, knocking him down. The captive works to untie his bound ankles. He frees his legs. Maya opens the basement door as Lewis starts to rise. Thomas kicks him in the head. Maya retreats as Thomas races up the stairs. She shuts the door and he barrels through it, knocking her into a wall. Scrambling through the house, he heads for the front door. He tries to open it with the chain lock fastened.
Help! Help!
As Thomas undoes the chain lock, Lewis rams into him, sending them tumbling to the floor. Lewis rises to his feet. He locks the door and checks the unconscious Thomas's pulse as Maya approaches. They peer through the curtained window, and the stout neighbor's light comes on.
Shit.
The neighbor, in his robe, opens the front door.
Okay. I'm gonna go. No, I'll do it.
Maya straightens her robe and opens the front door. The neighbor stands on his porch.
Did you hear that?
Outside, Maya gestures to her left.
I think it came from over there.
She rubs her arms for warmth.
Did you hear it too?
It woke us up. You think we should call somebody?
Nah. Let's wait and see in the morning.
He scratches his head.
Okay. Well, good night.
Good night, Jim.
Maya watches the stout Jim go inside his house before she turns back toward hers. Inside.
Where does she go, Patrick?
Lewis glances down at the motionless Thomas. Now, in the basement, Lewis tightens the bonds around Thomas's ankles as Maya watches. Lewis yanks back on the rope, binding his legs and ties them to his bound wrists. Lewis pulls down Thomas's collar. He examines him. The doctor shuffles back.
It's dislocated.
Okay, I'm gonna set it back for you, okay?
No.
Yes.
No.
Would you take a deep breath?
Lewis wrenches Thomas's shoulder into place. Lewis turns on an overhead lamp. He washes his hands. Maya stands nearby, smoking.
Children. I have two little children. My family depends on me. But I'm not him.
Thomas bows his bloodied head.
I'll be able to prove it if you refuse to even listen to me.
Thomas, Lewis, and Maya all stand apart from each other. In the morning, at the kitchen table, Maya sets down a coffee cup and takes a drag off her cigarette. Lewis slouches in a seat across from her as Patrick stares at his bruised eye and forehead. Maya gets up.
Mommy, can you cut my sausage?
She walks away. Later, outside.
Good morning.
Morning, Lewis.
Morning.
Lewis picks up the morning newspaper as a couple walks by. Later, with the bruised forehead, he sits with Maya.
I'm gonna go to the clinic and check the files of the new refinery workers.
No, Lewis, don't leave me alone.
And I need to tell Albert I'm not gonna be in most of the day.
If this guy's really one of the new ones, maybe his file will be in the office. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maya gives him a look. Lewis touches her hair and she turns away and takes a drag off her cigarette. Later, Agag Thomas wears a helpless expression as Lewis hammers a thick blanket onto the inside of the basement door. Later, Lewis arrives at his corner medical office.
Hey, Todd, my apologies. You're gonna have to see Albert today. I'm running late.
Inside, he searches through metal file cabinets. A receptionist glances at the busy doctor as a patient signs in. He searches another drawer and pulls out a file. He sorts through it and finds the name Steinman, Thomas written on a page, with his nativity listed as Switzerland. Lewis gazes forward thoughtfully and heads off. Meanwhile, Maya enters the house. She sets her purse on a counter and makes her way to the basement door. Now she stands at the top of the basement stairs. She climbs halfway down and sits, a lit cigarette between her fingers. Thomas observes her and struggles against his bonds. Maya crosses her legs and smokes. Maya watches. At the medical office.
Well, that comes with a good story.
Oh, it's nothing. I just bumped my head.
The bald doctor stands at his own desk.
Remember Maya was having sleeping problems maybe 9-10 years ago? You referred me to someone?
The psychiatrist from,
Nussbaum. Mm-hmm. I just tried to reach out to him, but I couldn't.
He retired. Everything okay?
Yeah, she's having nightmares again. It's not a big deal.
I can plan them for you. Anything I can do?
In the basement, Maya sets a bottle of whiskey and her pistol on a workbench and slowly walks past and behind Thomas. His eyes dart nervously. She steps in front of him and studies her captive. She looks in his eyes and glances down to his crotch. Now, she lowers and undoes his belt. She unzips his pants and struggles to pull them down. She rises, unable to pull them down. Thomas stares at her as she shoots glances around the room. She grabs the whiskey bottle and rips off the cork. Standing behind him, she removes the gag.
This is insanity. I'm a father. I have a...
Maya yanks back his head and pours whiskey into his mouth.
Please don't.
No more lies!
She stops.
Why are you doing this?
She glares at him and he averts his eyes.
It took me years to put that night behind me, to stop seeing your face in my dreams. I tried to forget you, but you came here.
My name is Thomas Steinman.
Oh, shut up. I know who you are, and you know who I am.
She wears a slight smile.
Segoina forse. Segoina forse.
I would never say something like that.
Segoina forse. Say it. Say it!
She slaps his face.
No.
Segoina forse. Say it!
She does it again, harder. She pulls a claw hammer off the workbench.
Segoina forse.
Louder. Louder.
Segoina forse.
Scream it like you did then. Scream it!
Segoina forse! Segoina forse! Segoina forse!
That's right. I'm the gypsy cunt.
She lowers the hammer and moves to a mirror by the sink.
I never said that. I never met you before.
She leans against the basin with a pensive expression. Flashback. The sisters are dragged apart. A soldier pours liquor in a young Maya's face. She comes outside, sees shooting and a rape, and runs off.
What's your name?
Maya stares into the mirror over the sink.
What's your name?
My name is Maya. Your name is Carl. And my sister's name was Miriam.
She turns and approaches him.
I want you to tell me what happened that night. Everything you remember. I have nightmares about it. But I only see fragments. I remember.
You only remember fragments. How can you?
Shut up!
She blinks hard and turns away, grabbing her face.
I remember being hit. I remember seeing soldiers dragging my sister. I remember you. I remember you on top of me, inside me. But I don't know if I... Did I run away? Did I leave her there? It's running in my mind on a loop, but I can't piece it together. Why my sister was shot and not me? Why I survived and she didn't? You have to help me remember. If you do, I won't kill you. It's your only way out of here alive.
Elsewhere, a bespectacled man talks on the phone.
Doctor, could it possibly be that this is some kind of delusion?
I couldn't possibly speculate on something like that. If I remember correctly, she stopped coming in after a few sessions anyway.
Why did she suddenly tell you all this?
On the other side of the line, Lewis fidgets with the receiver.
We had a fight, and she just said it.
He rises.
Look, this... She is talking about something from 15 years ago. More. Can she be certain of the details? How can she be certain
of the details?
Well, that's a tough one. Victims of trauma sometimes remember the smallest details perfectly.
Other times, they replay the event in their mind so many times it becomes confused. The memory.
Of a memory, essentially. Very often, the struggle to remember, to piece together the
event, becomes the central focus of the victim's life. In such cases, it's
really impossible to tell.
The bespectacled man puts out his cigarette. Lewis hangs up. Now Lewis descends the basement steps. At the bottom, he sets down his medical bag and spots Thomas with his pants pulled down. Lewis pulls Thomas's pants up. The doctor examines Thomas's shoulder.
Why are you taking care of him?
Maya sits hidden behind shelves. Lewis loosens Thomas's gag.
I need to talk to you, Lewis. I have information that'll help you, but I can only tell you, not her.
You don't set the conditions here.
Lewis moves to Maya.
You gave him our names.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean? Of course it matters.
Lewis, I need to talk to you. I have concrete information.
Maya heads to
Thomas.
You want
to know the truth?
Tell me. Wait a minute. Say it.
Lewis blocks her.
Say it now.
No, it's about my family. She could use the information and hurt them. Look, you know it's true. I'll tell it only to you.
Thomas glances at Maya with wide eyes. Lewis gives his wife a look. He follows her upstairs.
We said we were going to do things together. You torture him when I'm not here?
You call that torture?
Yeah, I do. I saw his file in the clinic. He was born in Switzerland. He was born there.
He took a new identity.
You don't know that. How do you know that?
You always do that, doubting me. And you're letting him see it. How do you think he will ever confess if he thinks you're on his side?
I told you not to touch
him.
No. We do things together! Together!
Thomas listens from the basement. Lewis heads back and stops Maya from following.
Stay here.
He heads down without her. Lewis drags a chair. He sits.
What did you do to my wife?
Nothing.
What did you do to my wife?
Nothing. I never met her before. Never. I was in Zurich the whole war. I worked in the Department of Transport. Building C of the ministry. You can check it.
Where'd you go to elementary school?
Thomas's eyes dart.
Alfred Biel on Linden.
High school.
The gymnasium down the street. Sport and Wissenschaft.
Give me the names of a few of your classmates.
I mean, I don't remember. Stefan, Jan, Robby.
You don't remember the names of people in your high school?
Here's who I went to high school with. Carolyn Beal, Jack Holland, Ben Rubens. I can name more. You want me to name more?
Stefan's last name was Fröhlich. Does it even matter?
Lewis turns away. Upstairs, Maya lights a cigarette. She stares, frozen for a moment. Unseen, she peeks through curtains, spotting her neighbor Jim and a young woman standing at the base of her steps. Opening the door, Maya nods at a policeman on her front steps.
Officer Brower? Jim?
Hey, Maya. Can you give us a minute?
Sure.
It's about the other night.
What other night?
I told the sheriff.
Officer Brower turns toward three onlookers on the sidewalk.
Can we go inside?
Sure.
Maya lets the three of them inside. In the basement, Lewis still sits in front of Thomas.
Who was your supervisor when you were a clerk?
A guy named Michael Nagel.
Michael Nagel. How do I find Michael Nagel? Where do I find him?
In Zurich, probably.
Probably?
Yes. Sure, look it up.
Lewis pulls a pen and a notepad from his bag and writes.
Michael Nagel. Serves in the transport department.
Building C.
Building C.
If I send him a picture of yours, will he verify who you are, your name, and that you were with them during the war?
I would think so, yes.
You would think so?
It was 15 years ago. You're gonna kill me if he happened to have forgotten
me? Give me something concrete or I'm going upstairs.
Didn't come home last night, didn't show up at work this morning. We have reason to believe there's foul play. His name's Thomas Steinman, and this is Rachel, his wife.
Hello.
They just moved to Spruce recently. So Jim White here is telling me that the two of you heard a weird scream for help last night?
It's actually early morning.
Yeah, around 5 a.m.
Something like that. But, you know, like I said, when I heard it, it was like a real help, but real deep one. Like, help!
Jim turns to Maya.
Yeah, but it came from down the street. I was in the bedroom. I ran out. From the inside, it was hard to tell. Just a general direction.
Maya spots bloody marks on the doorframe.
She only remembers fragments. She's making things up. She's insane.
Don't talk about my wife like that. Don't ever say that again. You said you have something for me. Now say it. Say it.
Calm down.
Just say it.
Calm down.
Is Lewis home?
No, he's at the office. Do you need him?
I have something for you. Just calm down. I have a way for you to know that if you release me, I can't go to the police.
Upstairs, Officer Brower shifts on his feet.
When I came to the U.S., I had a visa. And then I got naturalized through my marriage to Rachel. But Rachel was still married to her first husband in Colorado. We didn't tell anyone and got our marriage license in Virginia. We knew we broke the law, but we had no choice. It was the only way for me to stay in the U.S. So I'm telling you this so you have something on me. If you release me, I can't go to the police. We falsified federal documents. We lied under oath to a federal officer. My wife would go to jail. I'd be deported. Our life would be destroyed. This is your guarantee that I don't go to the police. See?
Upstairs, Maya goes to open the front door.
So why don't you search this street?
We will in a couple days. We haven't started an official investigation yet.
Okay, I got something. He told me.
Lewis, thought you were out.
Me too. What are you doing home?
They all look to Lewis, who moves closer, holding up his notebook.
I was just cleaning the basement.
I was just telling Maya about the screams from last night. Everybody's kind of...
Yeah, she told me about that. I must have slept right through it.
This is Rachel Steinman. Her husband's missing.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
What the hell happened to you?
Oh, this...
Lewis touches his bruised forehead and waves his hand. Maya smiles nervously and shrugs.
Okay. I think that's all we need for today.
Brower and Lewis shake.
Lewis?
Matt? Jim?
Maya opens the door and Brower pauses.
Katie really wants to see you at the clinic. Is tomorrow okay?
Tomorrow? Yeah, sure. Just tell her to stop by.
Brower and Maya smile as Rachel exits.
Thank you.
Jim follows the officer out.
Bye, Jim.
Lewis paces.
We're gonna get caught.
They move to the window and peek through the curtain.
So that's her.
Yeah. She must know something. He couldn't have hidden it from her all these years.
You did.
Maya meets his gaze and shifts her eyes. Lewis reaches for her arm.
I'm sorry.
She pulls it away.
What did he give you?
What?
What was it he wanted to tell only you?
He told me about a clerk in Zurich.
He said it was about his family.
I told you what he said.
They eye each other. Flashback. Maya lies with her younger sister. Light-haired soldiers take the younger girl away, watching. Maya lies motionless. On her back, Maya struggles to move. In bed, Maya wakes up with a start. Lewis sleeps next to her. She gets out of the bed. She walks around the bed and exits, closing the door behind her. Lewis remains motionless. In the basement, Maya sits on a step staring at a resting Thomas. He slowly looks up at her. Their eyes lock, and they both stare. Now, Maya holds Patrick's hand as they approach Rachel Steinman sitting on the steps of her house.
Rachel? Hello. Hi, I'm Maya. You were in my house.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. How are you?
I just wanted to come and say hi, see if you need anything. I mean, you're new here, and your husband is a foreigner in this country like me.
Rachel studies her.
Thanks for offering. How did you know he was a foreigner?
Well, Officer Brower told me. He's, German, right?
Swiss.
A little girl plays in the yard.
This is Patrick, by the way.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
I'm Rachel.
This is Annabelle. Annabelle, come say hi to Patrick.
The little girl, Annabelle, moves up next to her mother on the steps.
Hi.
Hi.
You like dogs? Why don't you go introduce Patrick to Max?
You want to go say hi to the dog?
Go.
The children walk off.
He's sweet. He won't bite.
So, no news?
Rachel shakes her head.
Where are you from, Maya?
I'm from Romania. I met my husband, Louis, after the war in Europe, and then we moved here together.
Like us.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Hey, come here. You're okay.
Rachel picks up a baby.
Come here. You're okay, buddy. Yeah. There you go.
This is Tommy.
Say hi.
Hi, Tommy.
Yeah, there you go. Hello. Hello.
Later, inside the Steinman's home.
I was in communications, the civilian volunteer division. It was part of the Marshall Plan after the war. That's where I met him. For me, it was an adventure.
I just wanted to get away from there.
That's what Thomas always says. Sometimes I think that's why he was eager to marry so fast.
You married fast?
Very. He really wanted to get out of Europe immediately.
Why?
I think for someone that had endured the war, just had had enough.
He was in the war? I thought the Swiss were neutral.
Well, I think the violence affected everyone there. He was a clerk in Zurich. The least heroic role you could imagine.
Do you want to stay for dinner? I think the kids would like that.
Through the windows, Rachel and Maya see the kids playing with Max the dog.
I think we have to get back home.
Later, at night, Louis comes outside to find Maya working in the hen house. He studies her through the chicken wire door.
I went to see his wife today. Rachel.
Is that smart?
That son of a bitch. He thinks he can just put the past behind. Start a new life and have a nice family. You know what I hate most about this?
She faces him.
When I first saw him, my instinct was to move, to run away. Because we moved around a lot when I was a kid. The Romanians threw us from one place to another. And that man just suddenly comes here and I should move. I should move again.
Why didn't you tell me this? Why did you downplay your heritage to me? Why?
Being a Roma was very hard. We were of the caste, the group of Roma that are craftsmen. Metal, wood, jewelry. That's how me and my sister survived in the camp, because we were good at.
You never told me about her.
Miria. She was 3 years younger.
Maya's eyes well with tears.
She was my everything. I had lots of brothers and sisters, but she was my light. It was me and her who were in the camp together. We survived the whole war together. And then it was only the last days when...
Tears streamed down her cheeks. She she wipes the tears from her face.
Louis. Do I look different to you now?
Staring through the chicken wire door, Louis nods subtly.
Yes.
Yes. And no. You're different, but I mean, it's you. I just need to get used to this new person. And your past. All of a sudden, your past is here, too.
They stare at each other with the chicken wire henhouse between them. In the basement, Thomas remains bound to the chair and gagged. The lights above the workbench glow. He glances over and sees Maya's pistol sitting near a toolbox. As he makes jerky movements, his chair inches closer to the workbench and pistol. With a determined expression, he continues his struggle. Now the sun shines on the Steinman's house.
It took me 2 hours to figure out how it works.
Rachel holds a missing persons flyer.
I'm not sleeping. Too worried.
She sits with Maya.
Maybe your husband can prescribe something?
I can get you sleeping pills. I have lots at home. I have the same problem. After the war.
At a dining table, Maya holds a cigarette and Rachel holds a coffee cup.
Thomas, too.
Rachel sips from her cup.
You should really meet him when he's back. He'd be so happy to know another European in this town, I'm sure.
They're very similar. You know, both of us married Americans and got out of there as soon as possible.
Rachel averts her solemn gaze and sets down her cup.
When you marry, they say, till death do you part, but you can never imagine what that means, you know? Till death do us part.
Rachel stares at Maya, frowning.
He's not dead. I know it.
Maya wears a concerned look, and Rachel fidgets with her wedding ring.
That's beautiful. Inside.
She slips off her ring and hands it to Maya. Maya examines it closely. She sees a Star of David engraving inside it.
You're Jewish?
Yeah.
I have no idea how he got it made in Europe at that time, with everything that was going on. He got it for you when you were still there?
Yeah.
It's very beautiful.
She hands the ring to Rachel. Later, in the basement, Maya descends the steps to find Thomas tipped over near the workbench.
What? What have you done?
She scans around the room suspiciously.
You married a Jew right after the war and took off to the States?
What?
Where did you get her that ring?
How did you know?
She moves closer.
Did you steal your ring in a camp too? Let's see.
Stay away from my family, you crazy bitch!
He fires the pistol from his bound hand until it's empty. Maya touches a gash on her forehead. Flashback. Bodies lie motionless in a pile. Wide-eyed young Maya is dragged and laid on top of the corpses. In the basement, Maya races to Thomas and wrestles the pistol out of his grip behind his back.
Another ring you stole in a camp, you Nazi pig, huh?
You stay away from my family.
I'm gonna see your ring.
She struggles to remove his wedding ring.
Don't touch me!
The ring doesn't come off. Maya retrieves a pair of gardening shears.
I see if you stole this ring too.
I didn't, I swear.
Tell me who you are, Carl. What's your last name?
My name is Thomas Diamond. I'm not the man you think I am.
No more lies.
I know I didn't.
Last chance.
I just want to go back to my family.
I want my sister back.
It's not me.
She squeezes the shears, cutting off his finger, and picks up the ring.
You crazy, sadistic bitch.
She examines it to find a matching Star of David engraving. Upstairs, Lewis enters with Patrick.
Maya?
He runs to the basement door.
Maya?
There.
He quickly shuts it.
Lewis.
You want to sleep at Albert's tonight? Good. Stay right here. I'm going to get your pajamas, okay?
Lewis!
Patrick sees the ring in her hand.
What's that, Mommy?
She glances at her bloody hands.
It's just some red paint. Mommy's okay.
Patrick recoils from her, and Lewis leads him away.
Okay, go in the room and stay there. Don't move. Don't come out.
Maya holds up the ring.
Lewis, look. Do you see?
Do
you understand what this means?
He dashes to the basement.
Lewis, look. His ring. He has a Jewish daughter. Like his wife, but he's not Jewish, do you understand? He stole it, like all the other Nazis.
No, I did it for my wife. It meant a lot
to her. Do you understand what this means?
She wanted me to.
Lewis, are you listening to me?
I did it for my wife.
What are you doing? Why are you helping him? Lewis, listen to me!
Enough!
Lewis pushes her away and tends to Thomas's finger.
Coward! Stop helping him!
What I said that's him? Enough! Stop. That's enough!
He slaps Maya across the face and she races upstairs. She marches across the house and exits. With dried blood from the gash on her forehead, she continues down a sidewalk. Flashback. Soldiers arrive. One holds young Maya as others drag her sister away. A light-haired man pours alcohol on her face. A soldier fires. Maya kicks her attacker off and escapes outside to see two soldiers struggling with a girl. Maya continues down the sidewalk. Flashback. A soldier rapes a young Maya. Another takes his turn, slapping and choking his victim. Maya stumbles in a park. Flashback. She closes her eyes as she's raped. Montage. She gives her sister water. Soldiers rape a girl. Young Maya escapes outside. A rapist separates from a victim. Young Maya runs off and is carried to a pile of bodies. A soldier, his face in shadow, shoots at the pile. Young Maya, with her breasts exposed, moves her head subtly. Sitting on the ground in the park, Maya gazes off pensively. She looks up to see her neighbor walking by. The woman stops, sees Maya's condition, and swiftly moves on. Maya remains on the ground, gazing off in a daze, leaves in her hair. Later, she enters her house. She walks through the living room.
I know exactly how it feels to hold a secret that long. The fear of letting it out.
Now she walks away from the kitchen sink in slow motion.
Carl.
In the basement.
There was always a part of me that was eager to let it out. Always.
She sits near Thomas, his neck now tied to a post.
And I know you have that too. I know you do. I can see it.
He shakes his head. She stands and loosens his gag. She sits down with a bucket of water.
Give me what I want, Carl.
She squeezes water from a cloth.
Do it for your family.
She wipes his face.
For Annabelle and Tommy. If you do, I will let you go.
He meets her gaze and shifts his eyes.
It's your only way out of here. You believe me, right?
With a soft expression, Maya nods and Thomas nods back.
You know it's your only way out. If you die here, who will take care of your children?
You really do this to them?
Yes, I will kill you.
Thomas averts his eyes from her sullen, serious gaze. Later, upstairs, Maya sits alone at the dining table smoking a cigarette. Lewis enters the house and pauses in the doorway. He closes the door and stands inside. She watches him as he slowly enters the dining room, hands in pockets.
How's Patrick?
He's okay. He's a strong kid. Albert's niece is there, so he's good.
She stands up and they embrace.
I was afraid you wouldn't come back.
He rubs her back and checks the wound on her forehead.
We have to put an end to this. Listen.
He sits her down and joins her at the table.
I got confirmation from Switzerland. His story checks out. He was really there. He was there.
Maya glances to the side and Lewis removes his glasses.
And I talked to Dr. Nussbaum. And he said that in cases like this, people can get confused.
Lewis, please.
It's natural. No, it's possible.
You just want this to go away.
Thomas told me that his marriage was based on false information. When they met in Europe, she was still married to another man in Colorado.
When did he say this?
When you were upstairs and I was alone with him.
You didn't tell me this.
He gave it to me so that we have something on him. We can release him and know he won't go to the police.
She takes a drag off her cigarette.
We can get out of this, Maya. Get our lives back to normal.
My life will never be normal.
Can we move on? And put it behind us? Even if it is him. Can you forgive? For our sake. Please. For our sake.
He leans back in the chair and rubs his eyes.
What do you want? What do you want?
I want him to confess.
Why? If you're so sure it's him, why?
I need you to hear it.
I don't need to hear it.
Yes, you do.
I don't need to hear
Imagine it. All this ending, and you're still not sure. You'd always think I'm crazy and that I attacked an innocent man.
I won't.
Yes, you will. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but if this stays unresolved, you won't be able to live with it. I know you, Lewis.
They lock eyes. Maya lies down in bed facing away from Lewis. In the basement, the gagged Thomas sits bound to a chair, his neck tied to a post. His head lolls forward, and he suddenly jerks it back. Now, Rachel hangs laundry as Annabelle runs up to her.
Hi, sweetie.
She hugs her mother.
You okay? What's wrong?
Hey. Maya watches them.
What's wrong?
Annabelle whispers. Rachel forces a smile and gently pushes back Annabelle's hair.
Daddy will be back in a few days. Okay? You know what he told me? He told me he bought you and Tommy a really special present. Don't be rude. Go play with Patrick, okay?
She watches as her daughter heads back across the lawn to where Patrick sits on a toy car. Standing up, she glances at Maya, later, in the Steinman's kitchen.
Yeah, Rachel, what you just did out there right now. I do that to Patrick all the time. Ever since he was born, I lied to him. I lied to him when he asked about my family, what happened to them in the war. I even lied to him about who I am. I feel like I'm protecting him, but,
Rachel wears a serious expression as Maya lights a cigarette.
He asked me all these questions, and I don't know what to say.
Annabella's the same. It's okay. I don't know what to tell her either.
Why not?
Thomas doesn't talk about his family.
Why?
I don't know. I've realized the past few days there's so much that I don't know about Thomas. I'm filling out these forms, these police forms. I have nobody to call to say he's missing. His family in Europe, I don't. Just even to ask if he's ever done anything like this before, or just to talk. I've tried to ask questions about his family, but he doesn't like it. His past, or it's these nightmares, he just explodes. I don't understand why he has nightmares in the first place. He wasn't even in the war.
Maya gazes off pensively.
Sometimes I look at him. I don't talk about this. So if you... Could you please just not repeat what I'm saying to you? Yeah.
At night, Maya rides next to Lewis in the car as he pulls over on a dirt road. They lead Thomas to the open grave and kneel him down next to it. Maya aims the pistol at his head.
I had to lie to Rachel. It was to protect her and the children. Many Germans did it after the war. They lied about being German. I wouldn't have been able to emigrate to this country otherwise. I was in the army. But I never met you.
Just stop. Your wife told me enough. If you keep lying to me, you will die here. If you tell me the truth, you can go home. You can have breakfast with Annabelle and Tommy tomorrow. I don't want to kill you. But you have to stop lying to me.
Maya clenches her jaw, shuffles her feet, and points the pistol down.
He was sleeping in that old, empty building. My sister was being dragged away. Three men were holding me down. Someone was pouring alcohol on me and my eyes were burning and I couldn't see.
Flashback. A smiling soldier holds young Maya down. A young girl runs.
I remember that I was running. I was running, but I don't know if... Did I leave her there?
A soldier whistles.
I know you were there. You have to tell me. Why do you have nightmares, Carl? What do you see in your nightmares? Do you see my face? Do you see my sister?
Carl!
Do you see me run away?
Carl, do it, Carl!
Young Maya is raped.
Carl, look at me. I don't want to shoot you, but I will.
If you don't tell me what you know, I will kill you. Did I leave her? Did I leave her there? Did I run away from her? Did I run away?
Did Maya run aims away? The pistol at Thomas's head.
Did I run away?
Trembling, Thomas gazes downward.
Did I run away?
We shot everyone. We must have just missed you. The Russians were nearby. We had to leave quickly.
As Maya bends over, Lewis goes to her and takes the pistol.
Rachel and the children, they must never know.
They will never know.
When I saw you the first time, I thought you were dead. Dieter was undressing you.
Thomas watches Maya as she crouches down, hands on her face.
Did I run away?
You never left.
I never left.
Maya's blinking eyes well with tears.
Some people didn't even resist. I managed to not think of it for a long time. But it kept coming back. That horrible feeling, it was like living inside a nightmare. The amphetamines. I didn't sleep for 5 nights. A year before I was in high school. I don't understand how I could become that person. I don't understand how I could do that. How I could do those things. I don't recognize that person that I was 15 years ago. I don't recognize him, but I know I did it.
Maya watches the crying man with a sympathetic expression. Thomas gazes ahead thoughtfully.
I did it.
Thomas's body jerks as Lewis shoots him in the back. The bound man's body collapses into the open grave. Maya stares wide-eyed at Lewis as he staggers unsteadily on his feet.
What did you... What did you do?
Shoving the pistol into his waistband, Lewis kneels down and checks Thomas's pulse. Now, he pushes loose dirt into the pit. Maya removes her jacket and proceeds to help her husband fill in the grave. On the ground, they hug each other tightly. Thomas's corpse lies in the shallow grave, half covered in dirt. Later, Lewis and Maya drive. In the basement, Maya uses a bucket of soapy water and a brush to scrub the floor. She coils rope and moves a chair. She scans around the basement. Standing at the top of the basement steps, she pulls down the sound-absorbing blanket and folds it. She shuts off the light and closes the door. She heads across the kitchen.
Lewis?
Moving into the living room, Maya finds it empty. Now, she stops at the open bedroom door. Inside, she finds Lewis hunched over. She kneels down in front of him. She lifts his head and wipes his cheek.
I don't know how to do this. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. This is done. This is over. We must never talk about this again to anyone. Lewis, you're a good man.
She holds his face between her hands as he fights back tears.
You asked me to find a way to let go, to forgive. I couldn't. I didn't.
You told me you didn't need to hear what happened. And I didn't listen to you. And now we're here together. And we move on together. Louis, look at me. Look at me. You go to work. I go to Albert's. I pick up Patrick. Take him to school. We move on.
Louis gazes into her eyes. Maya studies his. Cut to black. Daytime in the park. With refreshments on a table, a red, white, and blue banner reads, Happy Independence Day.
See you, buddy.
Maya holds onto Louis's arm as Patrick leaves them to join Annabelle on a stage. A man takes a photograph and the kids run across the stage. Brower and another man share a laugh. Maya lights a cigarette as Louis adjusts his glasses. Families enjoy the food and festivities. Annabelle approaches a blanket where Rachel sits with a friend and takes a flower off of it. Holding onto Louis, Maya spots Rachel, who offers a small wave. Wearing a slight smile, Maya waves back. Brower shakes Louis's hand as he passes. Later, fireworks light up the night sky. Patrick and Annabelle run to a spot and watch them together. As a spectacular display illuminates the sky, Louis gazes off with a morose expression. Maya glances to Patrick with Annabelle and takes a drag of her cigarette. Fireworks flash, cut to black. Credits appear, directed by Yuval Adler. Written by Ryan Covington and Yuval Adler. Produced by Lorenzo Di Bonaventura and Eric Housam. Produced by Adam Reback. Produced by Greg Shapiro and Stuart Ford. Executive producers Greg Clark, Victoria Hill, Ben Ross. Executive producers Numi Rapaz, Miguel Palos Jr., Marco Henry. Executive producers Andrea Scarso, Jamie Jessup. A title appears, The Secrets We Keep. Starring Numi Rapaz, Joel Kinnaman, Chris Messina, Amy Simits. Director of Photography, Colia Brandt. Production designer, Nate Jones. Editor, Richard Mettler. Costume designer, Christina Flannery. Music by John Paisano. AGC Studios presents a Di Bonaventura Pictures production. Echo Lake Entertainment production. In association with Fibonacci Films, Image Nation, Abu Dhabi, Kirkhouse Films Limited, Ingenious Media. Credits roll. Copyright 2020 TSWK Financing and Distribution, LLC. All rights reserved. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The characters and events depicted in this program are fictitious. No depiction of actual persons or events is intended. This film has been described by Pixelogic Media, with funding from Bleecker Street, voiced by Darren Polish.